And a gun, too, wildly.
Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. I am Dr. Tanisha Guy, and I am really looking forward to this topic today. So we're going to go ahead and get started as always. So excited to have my co-host here.
And I'm Steve J, the social scientist on the line, and I'm going to drop some science on this wonderful topic today.
And I am Fatima Lamuse, marriage and family therapist and resident social justice warrior, and I'm ready to drop the most and the best knowledge on this topic today.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. Our topic today is to sign or not to sign a prenuptial agreement. So we're going to spend some time today talking about who should sign a prenuptial agreement. Why is it that statistics are showing that more millennials are signing prenups agreements more than any other generation? And why is it, do we believe that prenups have gotten such a bad rep? So we're going to go ahead and dive into this topic. And I'm going to go to Fatima first, because Fatima really is the one who started this whole conversation on prenups. So Ms. Fatima, you want to go ahead and get us started?
Okay. So here's where this all started. I happened to see the video with the basketball player detailing what happened, that he ultimately left his fiance at the altar because she refused to sign the prenup. And you know what? I 100% agreed with him. I think in general, it's just a smart decision. I think everybody needs to sign a prenup. And one of the things that was said in this video that I was looking at was they were saying, you know, if you have assets and resources, you need to sign a prenup. No assets and no resources, you don't need to sign a prenup. And that's where I disagree. Personally, I think that everybody needs to sign one, rich people and poor people too. It just makes everything a lot cleaner. Now, I have a different take on this. You know, when I was a young, hot 20-something, I'm still hot, but I'm not a 20-something anymore. I used to think to myself, you know, in my dating life, and, you know, guys would bring up the whole prenup thing, and I was just like, oh, why are we even talking about this? That's terrible. Like, why would you be thinking about the demise and termination of a marriage before it's even gotten started? And so for me, there was something about it that didn't seem romantic. It didn't seem sexy. Like, you want me to have a conversation with you about the end, and we haven't even began? Like, something about that just didn't sit right. It didn't feel right to me. And then there's also the whole thing of, like, you know, feeling like, well, you want to leave me with nothing, or you know, just the, so there's all these emotions and thoughts wrapped up in it. After becoming a marriage and family therapist and having a whole lot of sessions with couples who were headed toward divorce or divorcing or somewhere in that process, and seeing what that looks like up close, it really started to change my thought process on the whole thing. Because what happens a lot of times is that the only winner in a divorce is the lawyer. Like, lawyers walk away from divorces the big winners, because the longer this stuff drags out, well, you're still paying your attorney. If the court has to take and hold some of the money or assets, sometimes they're taking a percentage out of that, depending on how long they're holding it for. And when it comes to the couple themselves, more often than not, what I've seen is that there's always somebody who walks away feeling like the winner, and some walks away feeling like the loser. And even the person who is technically the winner still feels like they ended up having a giveaway they should have. And somebody walks away feeling like they received less than they should have. So to me, in order to avoid all of that drama and avoid having to pay out the attorney more money that you could have had in your pocket if you hadn't spent all of these weeks and months and sometimes years in and out of divorce court, I say go ahead and let's sit down and have a conversation. And we can detail out what this thing would look like if it isn't going to work. And I know that that's a yucky thought to have, because nobody goes into a marriage thinking like it's going to end in 5 years. But if we look at the numbers, right, it's a very strong possibility that it might not work out. And so while we are operating in a space of love and we love each other and we like each other, this is probably the best time for us to make these plans and have this conversation, because when mad day comes, we're not going to be thinking level-headed, and we're not going to be thinking with the best part of our brain. We're going to be thinking about, like, how to get back and how to stick it and how to run. So I think that the best time to have this conversation is when we are operating from a place of love. Now, I'll also say that, you know, I think that there are other people who are against prenups just because, you know, I don't think they're going to do this. But I will say that maybe the mind is a little bit too much on, like, you know, the money or, you know, what they feel like they're entitled to. And I just think that that's the wrong way to be thinking about it. Like, I think that it just needs to be about what's fair. And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Steve, anxious to hear what your thoughts are.
Oh, wait. Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Okay. I do want to say that many people don't know this or understand this, but if somebody gives you a prenup, you don't just have to sign it right there. That is the beginning of negotiation. It's a negotiation. So if somebody gives it to you, you take it, you read it, take it to an attorney, have them look at it, figure out what's in there. And if there are things that you are uncomfortable with or things that you want to add, Well, then this is the beginning of negotiation. So then you add that stuff in, and then you return it to them, and they can look at it and see if they agree with that. You don't just have to take the first offer and that it's an all or nothing. And so I think that sometimes people misunderstand that or get that wrong. So if somebody is saying, you know, if we break up in 5 years, and regardless of whether or not I cheated on you and that's what led to the breakup, you know, you're only entitled to this amount of money, you don't have to agree to that. You can say no if the divorce is because, you know, of infidelity, then that's going to cost you this. If there are children involved, each child is going to be worth this. I mean, it's kind of nasty to think that we have to break these things down into monetary amounts or like, you know, the assets, so much is worth this asset or that asset. But it's a negotiation, and I think if you think about it like that and you think about it as a business decision, because whether we like it or not, part of marriage is kind of like going into a business arrangement in some ways. Yeah, it's also about love, and it should be, but like this idea of romantic and love marriage is fairly new. Like, it is a business arrangement in a lot of ways, and so you want to make smart business decisions. And that's why I think everybody needs to sign a prenup.
Okay. Fatima.
I'm handing the party blunt to you.
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here. So if you have assets and resources, then you need a prenup. If you do not have assets and resources and everything you gain is in the context of the marriage, then you don't need one. And we have laws in each state to determine how that is going to be broken down. So, you know, if you have resources, it's fine. If not, it just seems like it's an unnecessary step to me.
Fatima, you said you believe that everybody should sign a prenup. So are you saying everybody based on their assets? Because that's what the prenup is for. It's to protect the individual's assets going into a marriage. So what if you don't have any assets going into the marriage? What are you protecting?
Right. Well, I mean, it is to protect assets, but also like to sort of get around some of these established laws that might exist in your state. So you go into a marriage and you might not have anything right now, but you feel like the come up is right around the corner. So I think that you can still write it up to say, you know, if a significant amount of wealth is amassed in the marriage or something like that, like, if we're going to terminate this marriage, we're going to walk away with, you know, we could do a 60-40 split toward the person that's bringing in the most wealth, right? So we can design it and write it up to say, like, you know, not a specific amount, like, you know, we don't own property right now, we don't have great wealth right now, but in the course of the marriage, should these things be acquired and attained, that upon the demise of the marriage, this is the way that we foresee separating and how we're going to allocate what we've gained.
So that's where I struggle with the statement that everyone should sign a prenup. And I am in favor of prenup agreements, by the way. But the concept that I struggle with is, you said this should be fair, which sounds good in theory, but in application, I don't know how often, you know, that occurs. But if, let's say, the person that you marry has less than you, right? And mm-hmm. he says, I need you to sign this prenup because I believe my business is going to take off. And you say, absolutely, as long as I get this percentage, whatever this percentage is. he doesn't know what his net worth is going to be if ever you guys get a divorce, but he is supposed to be okay with that percentage. So let's say he ends up making, you know, his net worth ends up being $15 million. And you guys signed the prenup agreement in the beginning. So you're okay with 40, let's say it was a 60-40. You would be okay with a 40% of his $20 million? Now, mind you, let's say you guys have been married 15 years and you've helped him build that $20 million business or $20 million net worth. Are you still okay with 40%? Even though you may have been working just as hard as he was to build that network.
I mean, I might have been working just as hard as he was, but, and this might just be where I'm a little different, or I see this a little differently. Even if I was working very hard on it, I feel like there's also something to be said for the value of the intellectual property. Like, if this is his brainchild, his baby that, you know, he birthed and I am along for the ride to help him nurture it, then of course he deserves a greater percentage of that. And I'm not that greedy that 40% of $20 million isn't going to be adequate for me to take and walk away from this thing and go and live my best life with it. So, and I think, so I don't know, like, and this is why I struggle sometimes in these conversations. And even like this brings, and I know this is way off the subject, but it makes me think about like child support sometimes, particularly child support with, you know, very successful men, and the women are getting like, you know, $50,000 a month in child support. And like, that just seems outrageous to me. So it's in the same, like, I feel this brings up kind of that same kind of feeling to me of like, how much is enough? And I, if I'm getting 40% of something that I would have had 0% of, because it wasn't my idea, it wasn't something that I would have done without him, and so this was his brainchild, and it only came to fruition because of him, and I worked on it, so I'm being paid, compensated for my work. I'm getting 40% of it. And however long we've been married, I'm sure that I've been able to benefit from the joint wealth that we've had. So absolutely, I would be satisfied with 40%.
Okay. Steve, I got a question for you. Fatima said everybody should sign a prenup agreement, whether they currently have assets or not. What are your thoughts?
Well, as the resident business expert on Dr. Guy's Gumbo Show, I would hearken to say that is unnecessary. If you are going to be justice of the peace, then it is a moot point to sign a prenup, because more often than not, you know, there are no resources to divvy up or allocate, and anything that is going to be earned during the marriage, no matter whose brainchild it is, generally will be distributed equally. Then we get into some aspects of housing and children. So this is why we have the divorce proceedings in place. So rather than try to supersede the law on some potentiality, you know, unless you have something that you want to outline specifically, you know, many attorneys are going to tell you it's just a waste of money. But, you know, it seems that that's something that is dear and near to Fatima's heart, so I will tell her to go ahead and prenup to her heart's content. But for most average people who don't have any resources or property, you know, maybe she's foreseeing them getting a pet and arguing over the dog. She wants to make sure she's got custody of the dog. That's the only thing I can really see. So for, as a male who has studied the system and is very aware on how to protect himself, I do not see the need. I think Fatima was referencing an article with Steven Jackson, a former basketball player, in reference to him going through some proceedings up until his marriage, where he decided not to get married because his wife did not sign the prenuptial agreement. Now, Mr. Jackson,
fiance.
Well,
yeah, she didn't make it
Jackson,
to be the wife.
Mr. Jackson's interest, you know, would qualify in these terms, since Mr. Jackson was a multimillionaire and responsible for several households and had his expenses of, I believe he said, $400,000 on the wedding. And so this is quite a different scenario rather than trying to, you know, chase rainbows and pots of gold and try to determine what hasn't even been earned a game yet.
You're right. That one was a different scenario. He had assets. He had wealth. And they had talked about the prenup agreement. And she agreed that she would sign the prenup agreement. But on the wedding day, she still had not signed the prenup. So in scenarios like that one, he opted to move forward with getting married. But
yes,
I would have been in favor for, you know, in that particular scenario, signing the prenup, because the whole goal is to protect the individuals going into the marriage assets. And he had assets.
Correct. I think the most current example of a gentleman with assets that there was not a prenup in place, I believe, was Mr. Jeff Bezos of Amazon. I think he ended up giving the young lady somewhere around $40 billion, which was maybe 20% of his worth. And the other case where I believe there was a significant settlement was actually Michael Jordan and his wife. And I believe she received, I think, a couple hundred million at that point. And that was a while back. You know, one of my favorite cases actually is of the epic divorce of an oil magnate, Mr. Harold G. Hamm. You probably haven't heard of this case. I'll read it to you. Mr. Hamm, who was worth upwards of $20 billion, wrote a handwritten check to his wife for $975 million for their divorce, a move that ended their proceedings once she decided to cash the check. So, you know, she may have been entitled to $10 billion, but he wrote her a check for $975 million because he knew she just couldn't keep her grubby little hands without taking that to the bank. So once she cashed the $975, her claim to the $10 billion was squashed. So, you know, they are very astute people who have resources, who are able to come to some consensus with their wives. So I'm not sure why, when we are talking about some of these other people that may not have anything to argue over, are trying to secure some type of prenup.
Everybody, don't listen to what Steve is saying. Listen to me.
What Steve is saying is
absurd. Okay, here's the thing. First of all, he said any lawyer will tell you that's a waste of money. That's not true. Steve made that up.
Any good lawyer who just don't want to take your money will tell you it's a waste of money.
Secondly, we are all in agreement that if you have wealth and assets, you should sign a prenup. But it's funny to me how Steve, and it sounds like Dr. Guy as well, feels like poor people can just go ahead and rely on the laws and the court to handle it. You know, I think that they are thinking about this thing in the wrong way, because you know what? The laws in the court, the poor average everyday man is going to be the one that's screwed the most by allowing them to determine what happens. Yes, if we go into this and we don't have anything, but you know what? Maybe after we get married, maybe we might buy a house. Or maybe we might get a few coins in the bank. Or maybe we might buy some land. Or maybe somebody might inherit some property from a deceased relative. So now the marriage is over, and you're just going to allow the court, so the house that you inherited from your deceased grandmother, who your granddaddy and your great grandparents worked
that's
so
different.
Hard.
Different, Fatima. That's different. If I don't know I'm going to inherit a house, that's different. If I know I'm going to inherit property or whatever it is that I'm going to inherit, I now have an asset. So I want to protect my asset. But if I don't know that I'm going to get it, what am I protecting?
But even if you don't know, you can still put that in your agreement that if there is some windfall or some asset from some relative that you inherit, that those things on exiting the marriage come with you. You can put that even though you don't know that you might get it. But anything can happen, and this is why I say it's just a smart business decision. Let me tell you, I see it. I've seen it so many times. People, listen to me. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. And if there's anybody who's gone through divorce that's listening to this show, please call in so that you can speak to this. But I have seen.
I have seen people.
I'm gonna need you to let me get this thought out. I have seen it. Where people who are not wealthy people end up getting a divorce and just end up getting screwed by letting the courts decide how this thing is going to play out, that somebody is going to get screwed. Sometimes it's the man, sometimes it's the woman, right? And I'm telling you, the best way to go into a marriage is to make a smart business decision and go ahead and get you a prenup. And even if you don't have anything, go ahead and sit down and think about it real good. Like, okay, but what if I do get something? What do we want this to look like? And then that way it's clean. Once you get the divorce, it's clean. We don't have anything to argue about. Nobody can fight about anything because it's already been decided. It's already been laid out. Now, you can let Dr. Guy and Steve put these thoughts in your mind. And then you go out here and you get married talking about, well, I ain't no millionaire. And then you end up getting divorced. And then you're paying alimony even though you can't afford it. You let Dr. Guy and Steve convince you to do that. And you're going to be sitting there thinking to yourself. Fatima said it.
Fatima, do you want them, before I even ask this question, in case you guys are just tuning in, today we're talking about to sign or not to sign the prenuptial agreement. So as Fatima says, she want to hear from people who are either going through a divorce, maybe you're thinking about a divorce, maybe you're thinking about getting married. What are your thoughts about to sign or not to sign the prenuptial agreement? But back to that statement, Fatima. So are you saying that someone should put in their prenup that they're not going to pay alimony? In the event of a divorce?
I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't put alimony. I'm saying that they should negotiate how they want the termination of the marriage to look like. I'm not saying do or don't. Figure out what y'all feel like is fair and equitable and do that.
I think
what you're asking for is someone to get car insurance before they get a car. You can't do it. You got to know what kind of car.
See,
it
well,
is.
You can't. You can't do it before. That's what you're saying, because you're pro prenup. You're only pro prenup for wealthy people. I'm pro prenup for everybody.
No,
I'm
I didn't say. I'm not saying for wealthy.
With
I'm saying people with assets. That's all I'm saying, because the prenuptial is to protect your assets.
Right. You have to be able to declare what the asset is prior to the marriage. And if you can do that, then that is fine. What you're talking about is some potential rainbow that we run into and there's a pot of gold and you want to claim the rainbow and tell me I can't have none because it came from your Aunt Clara. Like, anything that's earned during the marriage is considered marital property And I think you will find it quite difficult to find someone to sign whatever document it is you're trying to create in the house that Jack built after Jack and Jim went up the hill.
Now, there
yeah,
are
but,
posts
But listeners, you notice that he feels like it's okay to sign that thing if the person is going into it with assets and wealth. So he don't care about the everyday man. Fatima cares about the everyday man. Steve doesn't. He only cares about people that have assets. So remember that.
I care what's right and equitable to both parties in the context of the marriage as the law states. And anything earned during the marriage is considered marital property, which the husband and the wife both have title to.
And remember, you guys, there's also the post nup. So you could sign the post nup up to 5 years after you've been married. So let's say the financial situation changes, the person accrues some type of assets. You can still go back in up until 5 years to say, oh, it looks like things are changing now. I've inherited some property, or I now have these assets, and so this is what I think would be fair moving forward. So you can always do that. It's not just the prenup. There's the postnup that can be signed after the marriage that I don't think people talk about. And so, I am in favor of people signing prenups, whether they're males or females asking for them. I think, again, Fatima, I agree with you. It's in the best interest of the parties moving forward. You do want to be able to protect yourself. I just think it's hard when you're asking someone in the beginning, hey, sign this because I'm trying to protect my assets. And they like, Joker, you ain't got no assets right now. Like, let's build the assets, do a post-nup if it happens in that time. But I want you to protect your assets because I'm going to help you build these assets. So I'm not against that. I think everybody should be protected. It's just, what are you protecting and how soon are you going to put that in writing? That's my only.
I know we got to have somebody calling 914-205-5902. Somebody help us out
and,
there. 914-205-5902.
And they gotta, you have to tell them to dial one. They have to dial one.
You guys, we have a caller. Wait, Fatima, we do have a caller. Let me go get the caller, and then we'll come back. So don't forget what you were about to say. Caller, you're on the air at 214.
So would that mean we got the guy?
Yeah. Hey.
That's you. Come on in.
That's Mr. Montgomery.
Hey, how's it going? Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
chime in. I'm going to chime in and, being through a divorce, I'm going to go ahead and go with Fatima. I'm Team Fatima today as far as the common folks. It's not so much about being a millionaire and owning all these assets to do a prenup. I mean, at 45, if I were to get married, yes, I would do a prenup because now you're thinking about your retirement investments. You're thinking about –
But you have assets, though. Those are your assets.
Investment is an asset.
That is an asset that you already have.
Yeah, but whatever assets that's accumulated during your marriage, they can get that. So let's say I come in with $50,000. But let's say when I'm married, let's say we got divorced and I'm up $100,000. She can – and she's entitled to $50,000 because the way the courts look at it is like she was with you while you made $50,000 more. She can't get the whole $100,000. But she's entitled to that $50,000 that you acquired during the marriage. That's how the courts look at it in Texas. I'm speaking from Texas. So I would do.
Well, I thought she'd be entitled to 25%, not half of.
So
half
what are you doing?
Accumulated during the marriage, not half
so
of what your total assets.
Right. So Texas look at it. Whatever you have, you know what I'm saying? You have community property. That's what you had before you got married. But once you get married, they just take all assets that was. Acquired during the marriage, whether it's rental property or whatever, and they just split it down the middle 50-50. So let's say, for instance, let's just say hypothetical. Me and my wife, we started off there. We first out of college. We was married for 20 years. And let's say I acquired in my retirement $100,000 and she acquired $50,000. What Texas is going to do is they're going to take $150,000 and they're going to divide it by two. And they're going to just make it even across whatever you get. So she might come out more on her end than on my end. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's how
Texas
look at it. So I have to, at this point, at my age of 45, and we're looking at, what, 20 more years, 22 more years of just working in, you know, in the working force, you know, I won't want to, you know, get married 15 years and then get a divorce, and then my retirement has to be divided. And now here I am 10 years from retirement, and, you know what I'm saying? I just don't want, you know what I'm saying?
But that's an asset.
Yeah, I still think you don't understand.
Like, Mr. Montgomery, you're going into it with an asset right now. Like, at 45, if you were to get remarried, you have already acquired assets. So it makes sense that you want to protect those assets. It also makes sense that retirement is coming and you want to protect your retirement. But if you get married at 20, right, you're probably not thinking about your retirement. So you're not signing a prenup to say, let me cover my retirement.
Right. So I would say this. So that will, age is a factor. So, let, you know, we do have to consider it. You know, like if I'm 20 years old, you're not thinking divorce. You're thinking we're going to, you know, to death do us part. But now, you know, you've been married, now that you're a little bit older, yeah, you definitely want to protect your assets, you know, being older or whatever. Absolutely. So, yeah, I would say age will have, you know, have a lot to do with it because you don't know where things will go. You know, you don't think about what you're going to acquire at 25 or 30 when you get married versus now at 45. You know,
50.
You know what I mean?
But
yeah,
really, you are on Dr. Guy and Steve's side because since you
have
assets.
No, Mr. Montgomery, don't let him try to bully
you
into switching sides. He said what he's saying.
We're not bullying.
He said what he's saying.
But what he's saying is agreeing with Steve and I.
Right. What he's trying to do is because he has assets. He's trying to protect his assets once he enters in a union.
Yes, correct.
Which
is what we're saying.
Okay, Mr. Montgomery, first of all, let me say, I don't think anybody should be getting married at 20 years old. However, if let's say you're a 25-year-old, you're getting married, do you think there's anything wrong with a 25-year-old? So they're new.
At 25,
with their partner.
No,
I'm talking to Mr. Montgomery. I know I'm talking to Mr. Montgomery.
Mr. Montgomery
was
talking. Mr. Montgomery is the one talking to you.
Oh, I thought that was Steve. I'm sorry.
No, that was Mr. Montgomery.
No, Fatima, at 25, I won't be thinking prenup at 25, Fatima.
You did what?
I won't be thinking prenup at 25.
You wouldn't be thinking of it, right? You wouldn't be. You might not be thinking of it, but let's say you were, because Dr. Guy read an article that said 67% of millennials are signing prenuptial agreements, which means they're thinking about them. So let's say you are thinking of it, or let's say you heard this show and you heard me, and you heard me talking about the prenup, like. Think that if now this is on the table, should we do a prenup? Do you think there's anything wrong with the 25-year-old who don't have retirement like you have? And, you know, they don't have that kind of stuff, but they're talking about entering into a marriage. Do you think there's anything wrong with them signing a prenup?
Wow. No, I mean, it's definitely, everything should definitely be on discussion at the table, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not saying we don't have 25, 30-year-olds today that are not doing prenups. It depends how well they're educated and how their family have educated them. You know what I'm saying? You know, we are in a different time era. Like you said, more if you read an article and more millennials are entertaining it, it won't be nothing that will be nothing that's being, you know, that's nothing that's unheard of or uncommon because that is something they're discussing because they said most millennials are going to make $100,000.
But
a lot of them are thinking ahead.
So, Mr. Montgomery, that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why more millennials are now. There's a few reasons why more millennials are getting prenups. One is they're waiting later in life to get married. Because they're waiting later in life to get married, they have acquired assets, whether it's in the stock market or it's in real estate. And so, going into these marriages, they are being business savvy and wanting to protect those assets. So they have assets to protect. These aren't the millennials
people,
that don't have assets.
People who are listening, I want you guys to be very clear that Dr. Guy only thinks you should be make a smart business decision if you have assets. But if you don't, they just feel like you should be make a dumb business decision, which is not to sign a prenuptial agreement and just leave your financial future to the fate of the courts and the government.
That is not what you heard me say. Let's be clear. For those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice, you did not just hear Fatima say that I said that, because that's inaccurate. I do believe that everyone should make smart business moves. But what I am saying is, when it comes to the prenup, I am in favor of signing prenups to protect your assets. That's all I said, to protect your assets.
Are you saying at 25, or are you saying at where you at now in life?
It doesn't matter. If you have assets at 25, protect those assets at 25.
See, Mr. Montgomery, this is the thing. This is where we differ. The thing is that I feel like everybody should sign a prenup, whether you have assets or not. And Steve and Dr. Guy think a prenup is only useful for somebody who has assets.
Let me tell you, I'm not saying it's not useful. I'm not saying it's not useful. But if you make $20,000 a year and you ask me to sign a prenup, I'm going to tell you, hell to the double E hockey stick L, no. We're going to build some wealth together. You're not about to have me sign no prenup. You ain't got no assets. I'm going to help you build some assets, and then we can discuss this later. But no.
But Dr. Guy, I think y'all missing it. What is the naked prenup? What's in the naked prenup? When you don't have any assets, what's in it?
I have literally explained this more than once, Steve, so clearly you are not listening to me.
No, I don't understand you.
Well, listen,
no,
Steve, I don't know. Get your comprehension up. Get your comprehension game up.
Maybe you've been very clear. Maybe you're speaking over me and the listeners. Maybe it needs to be broken down a little bit more for us dumb folks.
I need TK if TK is listening. TK, if you are listening, my line sister, I need you. If you are listening, I need your professional expertise and family law practices when it comes to prenups.
So we requested people to speak on our behalf. Whitney Matheson, if you are listening, I need
TK,
you to call
if
in.
If you're listening, I just need you to press one. So that we can hear from someone with a jurisprudence degree who's been practicing law, who works with families going through a divorce, and who has probably had to deal with a few prenups in her time. If you're listening, TK, I just need you to press one so we can ask you some questions. But we do have some other callers, you guys, we gotta get to. But Mr. Montgomery, thank you so much for calling in. Continue to listen.
Thank you, Mr. Montgomery.
It still sounds like you're on Steve and I side.
No, he said Fatima. He said what he said. I got it, Mr. Montgomery. Thank you.
He was wrong. We're going to go back to the phone lines at caller 605. You are on the air.
Yes. Hello. My name is Joe. I don't have a JD.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I don't have a JD. How you doing? I don't have a JD degree, but I like the tete-a-tete between you and your co-host. It shows that you two get along well. It's funny. I like it. In terms of the prenup, Dr. Tanisha Guy did not say only. She did say if you have assets. She didn't say if you only have assets. It seems
like
a distinction without a difference. But thank you. But the thing is that a lawyer could make something out of it. But I know what she meant, and I know what your co-host meant. Well, my question is for both of you is this show directly aimed at the assets for women?
No, it's for assets for anybody.
No. Everybody.
Okay. Everybody. All right. Yeah. I think if you're
good.
Yeah, both sides.
That's good because there are women who years ago would say, well, if you're going to offer me a prenup, I'm offended. And then when they get assets, all of a sudden they want to hire a Philadelphia lawyer and lawyer up. So, yeah, I happen to agree that anybody who has assets, and even if you don't have assets, as your co-host was implying, you should consider prenups. As a matter of fact, I have what I call, it's an informal pre-relationship agreement, in which, you know how people get into relationships, because they're feeling like they're falling in love. They want to fall in love. They want to trust their particular partner, and they're beginning to love them, but they don't really know for sure how the relationship will work out in the future. So my particular recommendation is you sit down, you take out a piece of paper, and you clinically write out what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what are the deal breakers, and you see if both of them can agree or disagree. You then have a discussion about it, and then you commence to proceed from there, as opposed to just jumping into the relationship and then 2 years later you've got a real broken heart. If neither one of them at the time when you take out that piece of paper, you're going to have somewhat of a broken heart. But I think it's better to have half a broken heart than a whole broken heart. What do you think?
Yeah. I actually like that that example that you just provided. That requires both parties to really sit down and to communicate what it is that they need, what they're expecting, so that the mate or the person that they're in a relationship with doesn't feel blindsided in the future if something comes up, because you guys have already talked about it, and now you have these expectations of each other that you have established, and you've put them in writing.
Yes, and that isn't dependent on whether or not you have assets. You can have sit down and have that conversation with or without assets. Isn't that correct?
Oh, here we go. This is what I like. I just came here and I saw the interaction. I heard the interaction between you two, and I said they must have been friends for a long time.
She just wants to go on the record
and say, I like the way you think, and it sounds like you are in a relationship, but if in the event that you are not, I am a single lady. I just want to say that.
Well, how about that? No, I'm not in a relationship, and it's kind of hard to get into a relationship nowadays because of the neo-feminist movement, not the feminist movement that was started by... The Feminine Mystique. Who wrote that? Oh, Betty Friedan. Not her, but the ones that have kind of conscripted the feminist movement, and they try to make women feel as though men are the problems for everything. You know, you got into a car accident, it's the man's fault. Well, I've got cramps today, it's the man's fault. All of that. So it's kind of hard to get into a relationship in which both parties really feel that I have to submit to you. A man has to submit to his woman, and a woman has to submit to her man. And I'm not talking on the slavery doormat level. I'm talking about, yes, babe, I like you. You like me. You want me to do something for you? Absolutely. Of course I'll do that for you. And as long as the other person reciprocates, then you can build up trust that way. But I have the feeling, and this is where both of you may gang up on me, I feel that most of the relationships that are not good today are due to the woman's fault. They have this me, myself, and I mentality. And I think that ruins a lot of relationships.
Spoken like a man with assets. That's my guy.
You know, Mr. Joe has just said a lot. He has just said a lot, and I can't say that I disagree with a lot of what you said. So you have no fight from me on this one.
Oh, come on! I called in to get a fight. Yeah, okay, I'm going to get a fight with your co-host. All right.
Here it comes.
I don't know that I can say most of the relationship problems are because of the women, but I definitely will say women definitely have their fair share of being the cause. Like, I really do think, and this, I mean, this might sound crazy, but I really think that it's 50-50. Like, I don't think either gender has the moral high ground. I sit with couples all the time, and I'll leave a session with a couple and think, oh, my God, women are crazy. Like, women will do stuff like say, I don't want anything for Valentine's Day, and then get upset because he doesn't get her a Valentine's Day gift. So, absolutely, like, women participate and contribute to the demise of relationships. But I cannot say that it's in excess of men. I can't say that.
Not even 51%?
Well, yeah, probably.
50.5?
Yes, you won't say that either. She won't say it. I know it. I've only been here 5 minutes, and I know she's not going to say it.
Well, Joe, you might have to look for Fatima on social media. Since you're a man with assets.
That's why she's available, you know. She only met me 5 minutes ago, and she says, just in case you're not in a relationship, Joe, I am available.
Yeah,
the prenup? Nah, we don't have to worry about that, Joe.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Well,
Mr. Joe, I
so appreciate that comment that you shared with us. And I hope you continue to listen, because we're still in this whole debate about to sign or not to sign the prenuptial agreement. So keep listening, please.
Okay, you mean tonight or later? Keep on listening
to the show, because we have another caller, so I'm going to go back to the phone lines.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go to 312. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi. Actually, my name is Patrick Forrest. Now, I may not also have the jurisprudence of the degree, but I do have a little bit of the talking points of a millennial, as I am 26 years old.
Okay.
All right. Come through, millennial.
Now, what I will say about this idea of the prenuptial agreement is that it's really a conversation about pros versus cons. Is the added stress to the relationship of that idea of mistrust worth the lack of assets that I actually have to protect? But I don't have a lot of assets. I'm not this, like, big rich-time millennial, right? There aren't a whole lot of us. So the idea of us going out and adding that stress to the relationship of, oh, you don't even trust me? You don't even trust me enough to be able to just live a life with me and actually see what we can get? No, you got to try to protect everything off top when there's nothing left to protect?
Ooh.
Is that really worth adding to a relationship at that point? Because it's just added stress for the idea of what exactly?
So
is that a good business decision overriding a bad relationship decision?
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So is it that if someone is asking their partner to sign a prenuptial agreement, you're entering the relationship already in a place of distrust? Is that what you're saying?
Isn't that going to be the signal that will be sent?
Well, I don't know. That's what we're asking the question. You know, that's what we're talking about today. Like, why is it that prenuptial agreements get such a bad rep? Is it because people, like with the statement that you just made, like if I ask you to sign a prenuptial agreement, does that now cause you to mistrust me? Because I'm saying I want to protect my assets. Like, does it do damage to our relationship in the future because I ask you to sign it?
It's not saying that. You asking me to sign, like, if I were to ask a woman to sign a prenuptial agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the idea of me saying that they don't trust me. No, it's the idea of me saying I don't trust them.
So what I get you saying is basically it compromises the relationship because you're planning your exit before the relationship has even met its apex.
In a way, yes. But it's more that they would think that I'm planning my exit before anything even comes in. Right. Now, whether or not I actually am is sort of a moot point, because if that perception becomes reality at that point, and that can destroy a relationship before you really even get to that point of marriage.
So, okay, let me ask this question. What creates that type of emotion from people, whether it's a male or a female, when they're asked to sign a prenup? Like, what creates this negative response to a prenup?
That's all about the end of the relationship. I mean, the prenuptial agreement in and of itself is about how a relationship should end. And when you're getting ready to start a marriage, you don't want to be thinking about the end of a marriage. So the idea of a marriage
right.
is that it would not be. And if you're mm-hmm. thinking about the ending of a marriage when it starts.
Okay.
Especially
so
the
by
idea of, you're thinking about the ending of a marriage to protect not a lot. That you don't even trust me with the not a lot. Even if we did get a lot, you wouldn't trust me with that. That erodes the idea of the relationship.
I totally concur. That's why I say there needs to be assets involved, so there is some skin in the game that we both understand. Like, I need to be able to attribute there is something tangible you're protecting instead of the idea of us breaking up and you just trying to cover your ass.
Well, Fatima,
so
what are your thoughts?
If I'm following the caller, my thoughts are, if I'm following, because this is what I said in my introduction. I said in my youth, I had a completely different thought, because for me, it felt a lot like what he's expressing. If I heard something about a prenup, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to take anything away from you. Why should I have to sign something? Like, can't you just trust me that if the marriage doesn't work out, like, I'm not going to try to screw you? And I had to really change the way that I was thinking about that thing, because when this conversation isn't sexy, it's not sexy, because it really is planning for the end. And so when people are in what is probably the happiest point in their relationship, you don't want to plan for the end. That's not sexy. And then it, like he said, it brings up this whole thing of trust. You don't trust me. If I say no, does that mean I don't trust you? So there's all of this stuff, but we have to take the emotion out of it and just look at it like, you know, he said he doesn't have a lot of assets. He's like, I don't have all these assets and stuff like this that is being discussed. But even without having assets, if I you correct, this is where you're going to have to be clear for me, caller. If I'm following you, are you saying even without having assets, it's a worthwhile conversation to talk about a prenup if you're gonna get married?
No.
Well, as I'm saying, that because I don't have the asset, that idea of the mistrust coming up makes it a not worth conversation to have.
Right. He's saying the opposite of what you just said.
That con outweighs the pro.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're team Steve and Dr. Guy. Gotcha.
No, that's not what No, he's bringing up a whole different concept. His concept is about the prenup impacting the future of the relationship.
The relationship.
Like, he's like, it's
yeah.
not a,
yeah, that
he's
not worth it.
Right, it's not worth it. And so I'm just saying, I think you should protect your assets. I don't care who you are, how old you are, just that's the whole intent behind a prenup, is to protect assets. But one thing that you said, Fatima, like it rang a bell for me, and you said the prenup is thinking about the end in mind. And I don't think that the prenup is, like, if someone signs a prenup or if they ask someone to sign a prenup, I don't think it's because you're thinking about the end in mind. I think, unfortunately, we live in a society where we are reactive. And so we wait until things happen and then we respond to it. And so we are constantly trying to change that notion so that we can be proactive, which is why we have so many people that talk about how important it is to be healthy and to eat healthy and to work out. We don't do those things because we want to wait until we have a medical diagnosis that forces us to do it. We want to do it to prevent from having those medical complications or problems as we age. So if I am working out and eating clean and eating as healthy as I can, I am thinking about the end in mind, right? But I'm trying to be proactive to prevent any future health problems. So to me, that's what the prenup is. It's not that I'm thinking about the end. I'm thinking about if I need to be proactive in this scenario. So if it was to happen and I did have to get a divorce, I still want to make sure I am protecting my assets. Not that I'm going into this marriage already assuming that it's not going to work, but in the event it doesn't, there needs to be some safety net there.
Dr. Guy, you can use these flowery words and make this sound really pretty and say that you're being proactive, but you're being proactive about the possible end of the marriage. Planning a prenuptial agreement, if we keeping it really dirty and honest, it is about if the marriage ends in the event of divorce. You are planning for what that's going to look like. That is the demise of the marriage.
I'm not planning for the demise of the marriage. I'm protecting. The wording is very different. No, I'm not. I'm not planning for the end of my marriage. I'm protecting my assets. Those are two different things. Protecting my assets and planning for the end of my marriage are two different things. And we know it's all about the power of thought and perception. So if I go into this scenario thinking, you done made me sign a prenup, that's because you think we're going to get a divorce. You know what's going to happen? We're probably going to end up in a divorce because this one created some ill feelings between us. But if both parties go into it saying we are protecting our assets and I value you because you want to protect your assets and I value you because you want to protect yours, great. Now we can come together and build this powerhouse of a relationship because we both understand the importance of protecting assets and building from here. Those are two different frames of thought, which are probably going to impact that relationship very differently. And I think that's what our caller was talking about.
Well, if we're not thinking about the marriage possibly ending, why do we need to worry about protecting our assets? If we're not thinking about the possibility of divorce, then what is there to protect? You are protecting your assets in the event that the marriage ends. You're not just protecting your assets just because a strong wind might come blow them away. You are protecting your assets because there is a possibility that something could happen and this marriage might not work out. We hope that's not the case, but if something happens and this marriage doesn't work out, I want to make sure that my assets are safe.
Oh, the ones I don't have yet that you still want us to protect.
That you want me to protect.
Yeah, absolutely. The assets that I don't have when I'm entering into this marriage, the assets that I don't but I think that I'm going to accumulate these assets during the marriage. I want to be able to protect those assets. Fatima is on your side. I am here for the everyday man.
I think you're a little traumatized by some of your sessions about people being spiteful and taking the family Bible and not giving you access to Fluffy, and now you got to have visitations with Fluffy the dog every other weekend. You know, maybe if you would bet who you were dating better, then you wouldn't have to go through these erroneous pre-asset acquiring prenuptial agreements. You can have your family Bible. You can have the dog. You can have the KitchenAid mixer. You know, but what we're talking about is 401k's, houses, land, assets, as by defined in a business context, not what you deem is an asset because your grandmother left you that old sewing machine that's going to be worth something one day when you fix it up because it got the little pedal on it. Like, you have all of that.
Well, you know what? We got off track. I want to thank our caller for calling in because you added a different spin to our conversation today, and I thank you for that because that's where I wanted to go to find out, does the whole idea behind prenuptials impact the relationships, and that's why maybe they have such a negative rep. So thank you for bringing that statement up.
Thank you. I would like to say something. I would like to say, because people might be listening, and I
hopefully
do not want them to.
Right. They're listening, Fatima. They're listening. And there are several people
and
that have comments.
And I do not want them to confuse my passion with, you know, that this is somehow related to something in my own personal experience. I've actually never been divorced before, so I didn't get screwed over in a divorce or anything like this. My thought process really is a lot impacted by work that I've done with couples who are going through divorce, but also just to me, I truly do believe that in general it's a smart business decision for everybody. I'm going to tell you, if I'm dating a guy and he starts talking about a prenup, I feel tingly inside. I'm excited. I'm like, ooh, I'm glad he brought it up before I did.
You know what?
So,
I think your tingling may change in a few seconds, because I got to go back to the phone line, and it's Corey. Hey, Corey, you're on the air.
Well,
it's the Diggy Diggy Doc, y'all. What's happening, Doc?
What's up with it, bro? I feel absolutely uncomfortable coming on the call as Fatima talks about tingling on the inside. But I am here, and I will not announce myself as a love doctor, because I'm probably going to do something I will never do again in life, and that is agree with Fatima.
Corey, we have a moment.
We have a moment. There's a moment right here. I almost didn't call. I almost threw my phone and went in the bathroom and took the Tylenol because I felt like I was agreeing with her. But what I will say is that I think that anybody that's been through a divorce, I've been married and divorced, and when my marriage was going south is when I was accumulating a lot of assets, and my divorce was extremely costly. And so, unfortunately, when you've had negative experiences in the world that we live in, everything goes social media. So when, you know, you hear about Future having to pay his baby mama $52,000 a year, you hear about, you know,
month.
Losing
month.
Yeah,
a month, a month, a month.
I'm sorry, $52,000 a month, right? And so when you hear about those things, unfortunately, it is a negative connotation to it. But yes, I am thinking that in the event that this does not work, you wasn't shooting with me in the gym, and so you're not taking half of the trophy. And so nobody wants to think like that, and it is unfortunate, but I think that it is a reality, Dr. Guy, that though you may have assets and said, hey, I want to protect mine, you want to protect yours, but somewhere in that thought process is, in the event that this does not work, you're not taking half of everything I've worked for to get in life.
But, Corey, you're agreeing with Steve and I. That's what Steve and I are saying. What Fatima
We're
is saying is when you have – when you're Fatima is saying that everyone should have a prenup, which, fine, but she's saying with no assets, we're going to go ahead and write up a prenup about future projections, so you're going to get a hypothetical prenup because I ain't got it yet. That's
but
what
listen
Fatima
to what
is
he
saying.
Said. He said when he was going through his divorce, when his marriage was ending, that's when he started acquiring assets. So he went into his marriage without the assets. Now, if he had a prenup about potential assets, he wouldn't have known.
He wouldn't have known. And now he's been saying.
Still write it up to say if at some point in the marriage
let's ask Corey.
This is how we're
going to separate. Let's ask Corey. Corey, hypothetically, what would your prenup have said going into your marriage before you started acquiring your assets? What would that have looked
and
like?
And would she have signed it?
My prenup going into the marriage, I probably would have just simply protected my Xbox.
Thank you. That's what we're trying to say.
Because he wouldn't have knew. That's because he wouldn't have known.
Are you guys telling me that I actually didn't agree with Fatima? Because it would make me feel bad if I jumped off the phone.
Yes, you did not agree with Fatima.
No, they keep trying to make it where people not agreeing with me. You agree with me. That's why he started out by saying that he didn't
have access until the end of his marriage. Corey said if he would have got a prenup in his first marriage, his only marriage, he said, he would have covered his PlayStation. That's what he would have covered.
His Xbox.
So what does that prenup look like?
What I would like to say, Corey, is he wouldn't have had a good prenup, but at least he would have set something up.
What
is a good prenup? What is something? Like, you come up with this phantom thing about a prenup that exists between people with no assets that no one knows what it looks like. So, Mr. Corey, what I'm saying is when you go to make that step, holler at your boy. I got procedures, protocols in place to make sure that your assets are protected now that you've acquired them or you have the future ability to predict how you're going to acquire those assets. So if you don't have that in mind, then you don't need one. But if you have the ability.
Let me be very clear, Steve. When and if I walk down that aisle next time, let's believe it's going to be a prenup.
Right, because you have assets. You have assets, and you know how to acquire assets.
People who are listening, I want you guys to be very clear that Steve and Dr. Guy only care about people that have assets. If you don't have assets, they don't care what happens to you. And I want you to protect your future assets. This isn't a personal thing.
It's just about what is a prenup. A prenup is to protect your assets. Like, that's the definition of a prenuptial agreement is to cover your assets, to protect your assets. What are you protecting?
Dr. Guy, let me ask you real quick. So Fatima, stop, everybody, real quick. So I can understand, what does this naked prenup say? When I get money, you're not entitled to it? Like, what does this naked prenup with nobody who has any assets look like from day one? So you say that I'm going to have a practice, you're not entitled to none of my practice, nan, nanny, boo-boo, and I'm supposed to sign that in case we get divorced?
No, it would say
I'm going to say that I started a business.
Are you going to let me answer the question? Because I've said this more than once.
I'm not finished with what I was saying. You're just jumping on in there. So are you going to say from your perspective, with your practice, you're entitled to everything with that if we get a divorce? And if I start a business, I'm entitled to everything with that if we get a divorce? There's no reason to get married because we're not accumulating anything collectively. And that's what the guy who was talking about earlier, who was the millennial, saying. If we don't have anything that we're doing together, there's no trust, there's no need to bring up, and there's really no reason to be in a relationship. If we're not working together to help each other for the betterment of both of us, like if you want to go over to the left and do what you want to do and go on the right and I'm doing what I'm doing, then we can have whatever that is, but that's not a marriage or a relationship or a union.
Hey, Steve, I forgot as I was going down my list of assets that I also had a yearly prescription, a subscription to Pornhub back then, and so I didn't want her to have access to that.
Hey, man, you know what? Pornhub is free right now in these streets, so you good. You Gucci.
Here's what I am saying. In the same way that if you have assets and if you will say this particular thing, you know, I'm walking away with 100% of this, or if we are a percentage or this amount, then what I am saying is if you do not have the assets, you absolutely can make a prenuptial agreement that says upon gaining or amassing wealth in the marriage that we build together, we would separated 50-50. If one person brings in the lion's share of the money, we could do 60-40 or 70-30. I don't know how people would want it set up, but to say that if you don't have any assets, that is completely asinine to have a prenuptial agreement, I just vehemently disagree with. I think that anybody can have a prenuptial agreement, whether you have assets or not. And I want the people to listen to the sound of my voice when I am saying I am here for everybody, not just people who have assets, even people who don't have assets. I am supporting you, and I am encouraging you to protect your future intellectual property and your future earning ability. And
you know,
you
we have a caller, Fatima, we got another caller. Let me get back to the phone line because they've been holding for a while. So caller at 314, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Whitney.
Hi, Whitney.
Hi, Whitney. And I'm hi. And I'm just calling to add my two cents about the reasons that we have prenuptial agreements.
Okay. What you got?
So they're more than just protecting the assets they may follow in the future, but they're for getting protection from debt.
You
so you may incur
would
debt.
Would you let her talk, Fatima? Go ahead, Whitney.
Getting protection from debts, avoiding arguments in case of divorce, clarifying financial rights, sharing child-rearing responsibilities, delineating religious upbringing of children, and sometimes to even address household responsibilities. And it's pretty common in people who follow the Jewish Orthodox religion. They get prenuptial agreements all the time.
Well, those are good examples of why you would get a prenup even if you didn't have financial assets to cover what you would include in those in that prenup. And I think that's what Steve was asking Fatima, like give us specifics about what you're saying should be covered and addressed. And the examples that you gave, I agree. I think those are really good examples to be able to document legally going into the marriage. And they're completely separate from your financial assets, but very valuable.
You so I want to be clear. Well, are you saying that even people without monetary assets should sign a prenuptial agreement?
Oh, absolutely. Apparently, I think we both have something to benefit from.
Apparently, okay.
Apparently, if you're Jewish.
She gave concrete examples.
I could have given more examples if Steve wouldn't have been laughing at me and keep trying to harass me while I'm trying to explain my point. But caller, please continue.
Whitney.
Let's take your passion down a little bit. I'm just laughing because you're using a lot of big words. And you sound like the majority whip for the Senate when I'm watching C-SPAN, that's all. Like we just basic people on here and you vehemently denied and opposed to the conjunction of the function. Like, that's why I'm laughing. It don't have nothing to do with what you're saying. It's just, you know, I'd rather you tone it down a little bit to the listeners. You know, maybe on the sixth grade level. You know, not on the graduate school level. That's all I'm laughing about. You fine. But go ahead, Whitney.
But, okay.
I'm interested to hear, you know, what else you have to say. I know you and Fatima are real, real good friends, so I figured you'd come defend your homegirl. But cool, it's cool.
Whitney, I would also like to ask for clarity
because somebody tried to throw in the
Jewish
girl?
People. And so I want to be clear that you think that for everybody. You were just pointing out that Jewish people do it all the time, but it's for everybody. Is that what you're saying?
And I can wear yarmulke tomorrow.
I'm sure
like
that
it.
All
little happens for everybody too.
I'm sure that all Jewish people don't follow that tradition necessarily, but it is practiced in the Jewish Orthodox religion. I mean, people do sign prenups for that purpose, for those purposes.
And
you know, and they say mazel tov and skin penises too. So I mean, you can do that if you want to too. I can put on that little hat tomorrow and walk around if I feel like it.
You know what, Whitney? We unfortunately could not hear some of the suggestions that you said people can include in their prenup, because one of our listeners said she couldn't hear you. And so I want to make sure that they heard what you said, because those were really good examples. So can you repeat those for us, those examples that you said individuals can include in their prenup?
Sure. To get protection from debt. Avoid arguments in case of divorce. So you never know what's going to come up, but if there is an argument that comes up or something that you are that you'd like to see happen or something like that, you can write that down in a prenup. Clarifying financial rights, sharing child rearing responsibilities, delineating religious upbringing of children, and even addressing household responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Those are all great, great examples, especially the one about child rearing. I think people go into marriages forgetting that they might have two different parenting styles. And sometimes it becomes so severe, it leads to one of the reasons why they might be getting a divorce. And so being able to discuss those things before they even get married and talk about it, I just think is a really good example. So thank you for sharing those.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. So what is the consequence for breaking some of these prenuptials, and say if we were talking about the child rearing or the debt aspect, how would that be handled? Is that something that the court would take care of? Is that something that the two people would have to address? I don't know, in the Jewish community, is that their tribal court? Like, I don't understand, you know, like if I can't speak for the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, like,
I don't
know.
I can't speak for the entire Jewish
how that's
community.
Enforced. How is the
Maybe
prenup
it's
enforced?
Yeah,
that's
in
what
court.
I'm saying.
It's a written document.
So it would be enforced in court? That
I'm sure it would.
Okay. All right.
Well, you guys, this show, again, thank you so much, Whitney.
Thank you.
Also, she did not say that you bringing up Jewish, and she said several times that it's very common for Jewish people, but it's not only Jewish people. You keep bringing that up. But
if it's common for Jewish people, then they would be more the expert in how to administer it. That's why I was referring to that.
Okay. Well, also, I really love that she brought up the thing about the child rearing, because that is often, and you spoke to this too, Dr. Guy, like that's often a real big area of contention in divorce proceedings. And
absolutely.
So if that's already outlined in the prenuptial agreement, then that saves a huge headache for everybody. And again, the thing that I said at the beginning, a lot of times in these divorces, the only winner is the lawyer. The longer this stuff is dragged out through court, you are paying those attorneys. So this is the reason why I am adamant that regardless of quote-unquote assets, a prenuptial agreement is a great idea for everybody.
Well, you know what? That was our question today. Who should sign the prenup agreement? Before we wrap up, Corey, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Okay. So, Corey, as someone who has been married before and divorced, what would you leave our listeners with as it relates to prenuptial agreements, being that you've been in that place? Obviously, you said you see yourself going, you know, if you see yourself going down the aisle again, it's something that you would do. What would you leave want our listeners to know about that?
Well, interesting enough, I was just texting you, Dr. Guy, that it cost me, my divorce cost me $50,000, and I'm going through a custody battle right now. So if you want to eliminate having to pay that debt, I think that we have to be more cautious before we enter into this covenant, or even, I call it covenant, but before you enter into this marriage, because marriages are great, but divorces hurt. Sometimes they're unexpected. Sometimes they're extremely nasty. And so I would just say be cautious. Have every kind of conversation. Don't leave no stones unturned. because just as exciting as marriage is, divorce is extremely depressing and it hurts. And so I would just say be careful. I think it's a beautiful thing, but know the person that you're going, that you're claiming that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Because when it comes to divorce, you end up seeing a different side of that person, a person that you've never seen before. So I'll leave that.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Corey. Fatima, what would you like our listeners to know as we get ready to wrap up?
As we get ready to wrap up, I would like the listeners to know that I'm just going to double down on something that I've been saying throughout this entire show, which is Fatima is for every man, not just the man. And I'm using man in a general term, but man and woman, not just those men and women who have assets, but also those men and women who are assetless, perhaps at the time of engaging in the possibility of marriage, but with a dream and the drive to hopefully attain sort of assets. But even if it's not about those material assets, even those people who want to ensure that they are not going through prolonged custody battles and they're not having to pay $50,000 for a divorce, $50,000 for those people, the everyday working man and woman, I am encouraging you and empowering you to take your future in your hands. And if you decide to enter into a marriage, to really and seriously and truly think about signing a prenuptial agreement. And remember, it's a negotiation. So just because somebody might give you a prenup, that's just the beginning of negotiation, right? So you can go back and forth and come to an agreement on how we would want this thing to look if this marriage doesn't work out. But I want you to know that I am hoping and praying that your marriages are long and lasting. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you.
Thanks, Fatima. Steve, what's your wrap up?
So I'm following Majority Whip Fatima, alternate for the House of Cards role. So I'm going to make this real simple. If you don't know how you want to raise your kids, and you think a piece of paper is going to save you, you are a fool. If you think that a piece of paper is going to save you as it relates to the debt and all the other things I heard, you haven't really vetted the person you're with to be in a relationship with them. If you don't have something that's concrete that you're trying to protect or you're trying to build, you're wasting your time because you're arguing about nothing. Get some assets, get your weight up, get a prenup, move on. I'm done.
All righty then. So today we wanted to talk about prenuptial agreements, and I think we did a great job of doing that. I am so appreciative of everyone that called in with their comments and questions today. If you guys don't walk away with anything else other than today, please walk away with knowing the importance of having these difficult discussions before you get married. And what I mean by difficult discussions is not just to talk about prenuptial agreements, but to talk about how we're going to raise the kids, what church are we going to go to, how we're going to spend the money, what investments look like, the things that people don't talk about. What's your credit score, believe it or not? These are those things that people don't talk about when they're dating, but they've now made the decision, I want to marry this person, and they still don't know any of these things. So if you don't walk away with anything else today, walk away with the fact that you need to have these difficult conversations with the people who you're going to walk down the aisle with before you say, I do. And that's all, you guys. So don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell everybody about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. You guys have a blessed and safe week, and we will talk to you all next Sunday at 4 p.m. Bye-bye. Thanks, Corey.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I got a prenup over here in triplicate. You got to sign three times, goddamn.
What? Really, Steve?
Yes.
That's it, Steve. I'm done.
I'm protected.
That's it.
I got my sword and my shield.
That's it, Steve. So now you're going to go biblical?
Get back.
I can't. Stop.
What? I'm just saying.
I can't take you.
You know. She did the Jewish Orthodox thing.
I'm out. Bye-bye.